You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk. 702 and Cape Talk.
At 25 minutes to midday. One of the more emotive, topical issues in our country is that of land ownership, and also the need for us to undo the legacy of apartheid when it comes to spatial planning and how actually we build and forge a new way forward. You get caught up in discussions where people create the impression that should those who have been dispossessed of land, particularly farm workers, get their hands on farms, they're going to ruin it. There's also the other side where there is a perception created of an overall unwillingness on the part of those who own the land and them not willing to share, not willing to release the land for the benefit of those who are in need. And then you know, or you learn of the work that has been done by the Earth Rise Trust, a nonprofit organization that owns the Rustlers Valley Farm. And this was a brainchild of a number of comrades, and we've spoken about this before on the show, but it was set up in 2013 with the purchase of the Rustlers Valley Farm by Jay Naidu, Kumi Naidu, and Gino Govinda, social activists whom we know. Joining us in our Johannesburg studio, and I'm saddened that I'm not able to have you with me in studio, Jay Naidu, together with Lucy Paget. Thank you very much for making time to be with us this morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Koketso, and great to be back on the show. And also, it's first time I'm saying my wife interviewed me 27 years ago, and we've spent marvelous 27 years with three beautiful children together. So it's the first time we've been together in a show.
But I must just make a precision. I don't do that with all my interviews, marry them and have kids.
You know, I must say this very quickly. It was very early in my radio career, Lucy, where I met you at Bush Radio many years ago. So, Mr. Jane, you are very fortunate, and I think you know this already.
I absolutely know that. I have my bread buttered on both sides.
let's talk about the work that you're doing. I mean, Jay, we've seen Earth Rise Trust and the decision that you took when it came to issues of land and ensuring that farm workers have access to an ownership of land. We've seen the amazing work that you have done, but you have taken on another direction as well, to take it a step further where, yes, there is the ownership of the land, but what are we doing with the land? Which is what brings us to the discussion about the birth of the new Naledi village at Rustlers Valley Farm. What is happening there? It's an incredible story.
Well, it is a marvelous story, you know. And many years ago, a number of us said, tried to understand what was happening in our country. And, you know, given the fact that I've spent much of my life trying to change systems, which we did do in 1994, I realized that, together with many others, that changing the system is not sufficient. What we have to look at is how do we change the individual. And so we had gone to this valley, Rustlers Valley, to find a convening space to create a safe, you know, convening space for intergenerational conversations on solutions to problems that are both local and global at the same time, whether that's corruption, whether that's climate change. But we found 170 people living on the land, and we said, not only should we talk about the change that we need to build a better world and a better life for our people, we can build a democratic practice. And in the partnership with the community and the elders, the leaders who actually came out of the union movement, you know, we had generated thousands of leaders. I didn't know them, but they were still leaders in their village. And together we sat down and said, how do we work together, even before we bought the farm? And the one thing they said is, we've been evicted so many times from places where we live. We would like to build the village of our dreams, the homes of our dreams, but we want to own the land. And so basically, before we even bought the farm, agreement was that they would have in their name 42 hectares. And because we are not farmers and we don't claim to be farmers, we said, you can have access to the rest of the land to grow your crops and to raise your cattle. And so together we started a journey which has led to a situation where people planted their own food and are able to feed themselves, address the fact that there's household food security affecting, you know, close to 7 million people in our country will go to bed hungry today. Mm-hmm. And if they have land, what is the skills and the support they need in order to grow their own food? So they've gone past that step. And then the second thing was, you know, how ecotourism is such a big thing. So together with the community, we built a lodge, a very beautiful lodge that can accommodate up to 100 people for our meetings, but it's run by the community. And all the profits of this lodge go back. It's a social enterprise. Go back into the village, go back onto the farm. And so together we have created a new pathway of hope and opportunity where, in fact, their biggest challenge they have as a community is they're running out of labor. Because they've built their own creche, which is probably the first insulated creche, because this is the Maluti Mountains and it's very cold. There's a Working for Water program, and they got negotiated that they should qualify for this. They are brick-making enterprises. So they're on the journey, and there's not 1 cent of government money in this. And so in the discussion, we started to talk about what is the future of work. This is with a community that have very, you know, access to education, about the future of work, the fact that machines will be taking over much of the work we're doing at the moment. And we did, in particular, Lucy, and she can talk to this, the idea of the rise of the creative class, the creative industry. And so together we built an arts and community center, a Naledi Art and Community Center, using containers. So we've created a place that could be an innovation hub, could drive enterprise development, where there's art, there's music, and many other activities for the young kids, but also livelihood possibilities for the older people.
I think what I'm hearing and in reading and listening to the story is an example of what is possible, and not necessarily, and you've mentioned this already, Jay, no government involvement, but actually South African to South African, those who have, those who have not, coming into partnership, listening to one another and developing a new type of community. And it's incredible. And to bring you into the conversation, Lucy Paget,
yes.
Again, thank you very much for being with us. The art center and the movement that it's bringing, the change that it's bringing, the opportunities that it's creating as well in the Naledi village area. What exactly are you doing there?
Well, I have to say that I'm a journalist, but I do a lot of scientific journalism. And I've come across the years, and I've done a lot of studies and reports on it, the importance of developing the two brains to make a complete human being. And in our societies today, we are developing the left brain, which is important to learn to read and write and think and analyze. But we're forgetting the right brain, and it's proven. This is science proof that if you develop the right brain, you make a better human being. To develop with art, with painting, with music, with any form of creative art. It's not to make them a painter or a sculptor or a musician. It's to make them better teachers, better doctors, better drivers, and that is proven. So what we want to do is make a whole human being. Take care of that part where society forgets about it. In Quebec, where I come from, government has cut in the arts and culture program. Well, that's cutting in the soul of the people. And then you have people that, instead of resorting to violence or anger or jealousy, resort to the values inside their heart that they have developed because they are developing this creative part of them. So that is what we're doing. And this, everyone has a talent. And we have these youngsters sitting on the side of the road twiddling their thumbs. Well, they might be twiddling sculpting instruments or twiddling paintbrushes, and discover what in them makes them better. And by making themselves better, they will go out in the world and be just do good.
Jay was mentioning that the issue that exists right now at Naledi is not having enough labor, which means we're seeing a community of people who are employed. And we know, Lucy, that once people are employed, once parents are employed, once elders are employed, the young people do not have those societal, socioeconomic pressures that allows them to then engage in the type of projects that you have. What are you seeing from these young people? How are they responding to the art and the opportunities that they have to play?
Well, at first they were kind of a bit skeptical. What are these people coming and doing? But now they understand. You know, some of the children, when we arrived there 3 or 4 years ago, had never seen a coloring pencil. Mm. They arrive in the school, they didn't even know how to hold pencils, you know, the work that gives to the one teacher in the area. But what they see is the inclusiveness. We're including the elders, we're including the woman, we're including everyone, we're including the youth in the decision, but also in the work and in the vision. Everyone is creating this vision and everyone is on board the same boat. And that is amazing. And there's different compartments in that boat, but we're all talking. And I think it's the first time that they're realizing that we can, any community can create that boat and stay afloat. And that's what we're doing.
Jay, you and Lucy touched on inclusiveness. You mentioned earlier the need for dialogue. And I think that's something that we tend to be missing as an opportunity to create the type of environment that you have at Naledi, where when you came in with your comrades, you did not come in there dictating what to do, but you actually listened and continue to listen in partnership moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. And that's been the DNA of how we won freedom in our country. You know, if you look at my history, I started off with migrant workers who are brutalized and excluded and living in terrible conditions in hostels. I've learned the most important lessons in my life from those type of people, that you got to learn to listen. What do we have in this country today? Look at it in the parliament, in the discussions we have on between politicians, business. It's extreme arrogance that we believe that all the people are victims. They are waiting for someone to come and help them from the top. But actually, if you go and look at those leaders that have emerged from the community we've been working in Naledi, they are extraordinary people. These are the people that will build the South Africa of our dreams, that will reimagine, redesign, and reorganize a country where we commit to give a better life to our people. But we keep looking up for solutions. And I think we've lost the plot there. I think we should concentrate a lot of our effort to take grassroots leaders like Yapi Lapatsi and Anton Chaka, or Justine, who's the principal and the school teacher and the social worker and the psychologist who runs a school with 25 kids over 6 grades and never complains. Every day they do their job. They do what is right. Can we get a conversation between South Africans where, of the 5 million people that constitute the middle class, that if 1 million could stand up and do the right thing tomorrow, imagine how we will lift not just the yachts of our predatory elites, we will lift the boats of all our people. And that's what we're asking for, is that don't wait for anyone. The communities are crying out to say, partner with us. If you go to the Platinum Belt, the communities there, which I've dialogued with, are saying, please work with us so that we can use the CSI funds that you have to help us, so we could build our houses, our roads, our schools. We could grow the food that you need in your mines. So while 1994 was one big social compact that stopped the war between black and white, what we need are millions of social compacts today between white farmers and farm workers, between mine owners and the communities around them, between employers and their workers. Can we start actually doing it instead of talking about it?
Jay Naidoo is with us, as well as Lucy Paget. We're talking about the work that they're doing as the Earthrise Trust, the achievement, the success that is the Naledi Village at 11 minutes to midday.
702 and Cape Talk.
At 9 minutes to midday, still with us, Jay Naidoo and Lucy Paget. We, in looking at the work that you're doing, Lucy, I would assume that you are always open and you would like some assistance as part of this collective that we are in creating better communities. Where do you need assistance?
Yes, we need a lot of assistance. Where we need assistance, well, we were talking of the importance of arts and developing the both brains in a human being. Well, for example, we want to do a collage. We need magazines and scissors. We don't even have scissors. We need to equip a art studio. You know what that means? It's paintbrushes, paint, rulers, tape, erasers, canvases for the music. We're looking to have one instrument of each. We're even looking for a piano. I teach piano, but I don't have a piano. I specialize in teaching little children to learn to read music even before they learn to read and write. So, but I need tools for that. And toilet paper rolls. They don't even have toilet paper rolls, but we need that to do crafts for the kids. So can you imagine going in the flea market? Look in the flea market what you see, the beads, needles, a thread, imagine an orchestra. What do you see? What instrument do you see? A flute, a record. Would be great if they all had a record. It'd be great if one found a violin and became a great violinist or whatever. Or it doesn't matter. It can just play the violin to become a great, better president, for example.
And maybe if we put a criteria, you have to play an instrument.
If you play the violin, you might not.
We're not looking for saxophones. Too much hot air. So, but imagine that. We are looking for all of that, and you know there are 7 schools in that area. So this art center of Naledi is not just for the children in the village. There are literally 250 kids in the surrounding district, and we've already talked to the principals about bringing them once a week. So we start to take all of those kids on the farms through a process which gives them exposure to the most things they could never have dreamt about. We're also looking for computers because there needs to be a resource center, you know, and we have a centralized resource center where we can teach kids the digital age. These are villages largely without water. Running water and without electricity. But you know what? We can do a leapfrog. We can prove that every human being has a potential to succeed as much as the next human being, you know?
How do we get a hold of you, Jay? Because I want to make sure that we don't run out of time before we get to those important details of those who are responding and would want to respond to your call to action. What platforms do we use to get a hold?
We have one person working with us that runs the office. Her name is Sham, SH. ARM Nika, NACKER. Her mobile number is 083-777-8059. And I repeat that, 083-777-8059. And then there's Sharmini, Sharmini, dot Nika, NACKER, at gmail.com. Or get hold of me on Twitter, you know, my direct feed. You know, I mean, there are many ways you can reach me on social media, but otherwise just leave a message for the station, and we really would welcome the opportunity to talk to other partners. We're not focusing just on Naledi Village. Ultimately, if we could start this spark, could start a fire of hope that spreads across the country where people can find something critical that they can do. Because when I talk to people, the biggest thing they say, we are committed to doing something, we don't know what to do. This is the way of answering that question. This is what you can do. And it really does not impact on your time. It makes you feel good. And if we could get just other people doing the same thing, we could grow that fire of hope that our country so desperately needs that we're not going to get from the top, no matter what happens.
Jay, I'm meant to be asking you a question about the ANC, but I'm not going to. You know,
I think we answered. We're looking for a human being that can think with his heart or her heart, his guts, put himself or herself behind, think of the people, but especially a human being that cares. And that means someone with compassion. And I think we haven't had that since 1999.
I will say this in conclusion, to say that the two of you in the work that you do, you are an inspiration to all of us. And I think in listening to all that you have achieved, what you're doing in partnership with other people, it gives us hope that actually we can make a difference. We don't have to wait for anybody. And also, most importantly, Jay Naidu, that some of us are able to achieve a whole lot more in partnership with an amazing, strong wife.
Yes,
I like you.
Yeah, and you're setting the bar very high, Kokotsu.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Jay Naidu and Lucy Paget.